Good. Okay. It's all about the fold. I'm learning this. Because if you fold it wrong, it'll curve in the air.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no! Oh, that was the worst! We would have gotten waffles, too. Oh, I'm so bummed. Bummed to the core. Okay, we have snacks at the end of the service. Terry brought us some snacks, so before you leave, make sure you grab, I think it's like cereal treats. They look really good. It's like Rice Krispies, but I think she made them with like cinnamon toast crunch. Yeah, how good does that sound? So good. Okay, are you at chapter 3, verse 12?
No.
Oh. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Like SpongeBob? Yeah, he's 2 hours later. Crack me up. Yeah.
Oh, 1 Corinthians or 2?
1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have been in 1 Corinthians for like the last 2 months.
I know, but I have a very short term memory.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
I can sometimes not remember how to act.
Okay, let's all stand, and we've got a pretty big portion to read, so just bear with me. It's not going to kill you, I promise. Okay, starting in verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that's been covered in chapter 3, and even though it's pretty complex and pretty interesting what Paul's going into, that you have a specific message for us today. And you have something specific that you want us to grow in and that you want us to understand more than we did yesterday. So we pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit to understand what you have for us. Fill me with your Spirit to speak clearly and to encourage all of us here that we might grow deeper in our walks with you today. And we pray all this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Have a seat. So last week we looked at planting, watering, and growing. So like when you minister to someone or when someone is taught in the Word of God and then they accept the Lord, that's the seed being planted. And then someone who teaches and encourages them, that's them being watered. And then the growth is what comes from God. And we saw that the growth is the most important aspect of that whole developmental process because it's what only God can do. And it's what's going to produce the fruit. It's not the watering that matters, it's the growth. The farmers don't do all their work so that they can play in water. They do all their work so that they can see the fruit, so that the fruit can be produced, so that there can be growth. And some people in Corinth were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, like we belong on different teams because of who we think we belong to, which minister we think is most in charge. And Paul gave us the example of growing a plant and constructing a building to show that all that matters is the growth that comes from God and the foundation that we build upon, and that foundation is Jesus. And in our passage today, Paul takes off right where we left off at the foundation of Jesus Christ. In verses 12 through 15, Paul talks about the importance of the materials that we are using when we build upon that foundation. And remember this building upon of a foundation. It's a metaphor for teaching and for ministry and for encouraging Christians in their walk with God. And there's some teaching that is good, that has a lasting value. And then there's other teachings that are bad, that have basically no eternal worth. They have no lasting value. And then he goes on in verses 16 through 17, and Paul tells us that members of a church are the temple of God. And this is something you guys have probably heard all the time. You're used to it. You understand it. And we see that God will destroy teachers who come into the church teaching things that go directly against God's word. And then he goes on in verse 18 through 20, and he says that when God is analyzing the value of wisdom, when he's analyzing the value of a teaching or of a teacher within the church, that he does not take into consideration worldly wisdom. He doesn't take into consideration their secular education. And worldly wisdom, it doesn't matter to God. God doesn't look at that and go, oh, well, at least he's smart. At least he's a clever man, or at least she knows her grammar. No, God doesn't care about that. God cares about theology. God cares about the Bible, and if you're in line with that, and if you're in line with his character and with his heart. But as people, we can be so easily swayed by how smart someone is. It's really shocking. But when like a doctor says, I approve this, or I encourage you to do this, we're like, okay, sounds good. We're easily led by people who are smart, especially when they're educated in what they're talking about. So if there's a psychologist and we go to a psychologist for like emotional help, most of us will listen to almost everything they say because they've been educated in that. And then theologians, if they went to school for what they teach on, most of us will listen to what they say because they're smart. But God doesn't take that into consideration. He gets down to the core of what's important. And then finally, in verse 21 through 23, Paul destroys, literally crushes, all of the arguments that he has brought up in chapter 3. And here's how he does it. He says, teachers and pastors belong to Christians. And so here's what this means. As a teacher or a pastor or a minister or a missionary, they are servants to the body of Christ. They are servants to Christians. And so us as Christians attending church, we are essentially over those who are over us, if that makes sense, because they're to serve us. They're to minister to us. So he says teachers and pastors belong to Christians. And then Christians belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to God. And I think it's so interesting to notice that ministers are at the bottom of that analogy, you know, where he's comparing teachers to Christians, Christians to Jesus, and then Jesus to God. Bible teachers and pastors are at the bottom of that, which is so intriguing because we think they'd be pretty high up because they're important. The ministry that they do is very important, and we see that all throughout Scripture. But Christians do not belong to a teacher. Christians do not belong to a pastor. Christians don't belong to the church that they go to. Rather, that church, that pastor, that minister belongs to them. They belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to God. In the end, we all belong to God, and that is what matters most. Now, our main focus today, what I want to get down to the nitty-gritty with, are three different types of teachings that will be available to us as Christians. Three different types of teachings that we're going to come up against in our life. If you continue to grow and develop as a Christian from junior high into high school and then into college and then into like adulthood and stuff like that, if you continue being a Christian, continue in your walk with God, and that is my prayer, that you'll continue to grow deeper in Him, if that continues, you're going to come against three different types of teachings. And then we're going to close looking at the role that we as Christians must play in kind of sifting through those. You guys know like sifting, like what gold miners do when they're looking for gold, they sift through it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And this is going to be good for those of you who are interested in one day becoming teachers or leaders or ministers or missionaries, if anything like that is on your heart to one day do, even if it's not full-time, like you're not a full-time pastor, but you want to do it with most of your time or part of your time, this is going to be really good for you. So you need to listen up, because this is going to lay out basically the do's and don'ts for you that you can start practicing within junior high, that you can start noticing from other teachers who are in the world. And to any of you who happen to listen to Bible teachings from churches on a regular basis, so all of you, this is also going to be important to you. So you need to tune in as well, because this is going to show you what to listen for. When you hear a Bible teacher, even if you've never heard him teach before, or if you've never seen a person minister before, these are the things that you're going to be looking for and listening for to know if they are okay, if you can receive what they're teaching. And the way we're going to break it down today, the way we're going to outline the teaching, so if you're taking notes, you can take note of these. We're going to break it down to the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's like an old Western film that I've never seen before, so I'm not supporting this. The good, the bad, the ugly is not a sponsor. But it is the name of our points today. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Talking about teachings that are out there. The good teachings, the bad teachings, and the ugly teachings. And we're going to see where they're mentioned in our passage today. And then we're going to close looking at what our role is to play within that. So let's start looking at the good. We got to start on a happy note, right? Everybody wants to start on a happy note. Am I right? No? No. I hate happy notes. Okay. Well, we're going to start with the ugly then. No, we're not, because then everything wouldn't make sense. So verse 12 starts with the good. Paul mentions the good materials for building upon the foundation. And those good materials are in verse 12. They are gold, silver, and precious rocks. Now, when he says precious rocks, because he mentions gold and silver, a lot of us would think like, oh, diamonds, little diamonds, or like pearls, like you know, bling, where you automatically think of bling. You know what I'm talking about, bling. Do people still say that? Like, bling? I got my bling on. Nobody really wears bling anymore.
Unless you're a rapper.
Mm.
Wow.
And I'm a rapper. You know me. But no, he's not talking about like jewels or gems, like little seashells. No, he's talking about more like granite, like big slabs of beautiful rocks that are very valuable and huge. So probably like granite, marble, think like within those terms. You know what I'm talking about? Limestone, sandstone, stuff like that. You know what I mean. And what do these good materials, gold, silver, granite, marble, have in common? Well, they're sturdy. They are sturdy. They're very heavy, strong, sturdy. And they're super valuable. Which is interesting, because that is pretty much what Paul's talking about when he says good teaching. So when it comes to teachings in the church, these would be things that are sturdy, that come directly from the Bible, that flow within God's word completely. They're not veering way off of it. They're not like telling you stories from their past. Like they read one verse and then they're like going way off on rabbit trails that don't make sense to the Bible. They're sticking to the Bible and continuing within that. And then they're valuable. They're edifying. And do you guys know that word, edifying? We haven't really talked about it in junior high, but maybe you've heard it before. Yeah, you know it? Do you know what it means, Stacy? Can you break it down? Your mom, yeah, that is like a your mom word, huh? Yeah, not like your mom, not like everybody's mom, but specifically your mom word. But what it means to edify is it's actually a building term, like from the Greek language. And what it means is to basically to build somebody up, to encourage someone in a way that's going to be lasting, valuable, and encouraging. So the teachings that are good, that are of these gold, silver, precious rocks, are going to be lasting. They're going to be following within the Word of God. And they're going to be encouraging. They're going to encourage you and challenge you. And notice, within the Bible, some of the times we're encouraged, it doesn't always feel good. When we're encouraged to repent from a sin that we have been struggling with, it doesn't really feel good. We're not like, oh, I've got the butterflies in my belly from that sermon. No, but we are encouraged to go deeper and further in our walk with God, which is what is most important. Verse 13 tells us that whether a teaching or a ministry was of these good materials will be determined by fire when we go to heaven. So when we go to heaven, we're going to go before the Bema Seat judgment. And what that means is the judgment where God looks at us and basically gives us an account of what we've done. And we're going to have to say, we did this for you, we did that for you, and then we're going to be rewarded for what we've done, and then kind of not rewarded for what we didn't do, or what we should have done but missed out on. And so it's going to be a really hard thing, because we're right in front of God and we're saying, I should have done way more, but we're also going to be rewarded, and then it's going to all work out in the end. It's going to feel really good. That by fire, what it means is it's kind of an image that what's most important when something goes through a fire, the things that are non-valuable, that aren't lasting, that aren't going to really make an impact, they're just going to burn up. They're just going to light on fire. They're not going to last. But when we go through the fire, the important things that we receive, the ministries that came directly from God's word, that were edifying, that built us up, are what are going to last. And verse 14 says, if the work survives, if it makes it through the fire, the builder will receive a reward. And so that's the good stuff. That's what we need to be looking for in a teacher, in a ministry, and in a missionary or whatever else. And if you feel led to one day be a Bible teacher, that is what you need to cling to. You need to cling to God's word, and you need to cling to things that are going to challenge Christians in their walk with God, encourage them, and spur them on, if you will. Like you spur a horse, you know, you kick it and it goes faster. Spur them on in their walk with God. Challenge them in their walk with God. Now we've seen the bad. We've seen the good. Now we gotta look at the bad. Bum, bum, bum. Paul mentions the bad in verse 12, right after he mentions the good materials. So he says the gold, silver, precious rocks. And then he says wood, straw, and hay. And these bad materials are really the opposite of the good materials. On their own, they are not sturdy. They're not strong. Like, we can use wood to build a house, but you need a lot of it. You need a lot of wood, and you need somebody who knows how to frame a house. So you need someone who's smart and someone who has a lot of wood. You don't just, it's not like wood on its own is strong and lasting. And so they're not sturdy. And then they're also, they have no value. They have no lasting value. Like straw and hay, there's farmers who make their job is to regrow it every season because it doesn't last, because it blows away in the wind or it gets eaten by like a cow and stuff. I think cows eat straw and hay, right? I don't know. A horse and a pig. Pig? No, pigs eat slop. Pig slop. Pig slop and stuff. I don't know. I don't know anything about a farm. But straw and hay, I do know that it has to be regrown every season because it dissolves. It like disintegrates. It gets so dry that it just goes and then it's gone. And wood, though it does it slowly, wood will do the same thing. It will get moist, and then it will dry out and expand, and then get moist again, and then dry out and expand. And then eventually it's just going to go, which is not good. And this is Paul's point. This is not good. Teachings that are bad material would be teachings that do not center on God's word. You know, someone who just reads a verse and then just goes and talks on whatever they want to talk about. Or maybe uses one part of a verse to make an argument for, like, how if you believe in God, one day you're going to be wealthy and have a big family. And that's not in God's word. That, like, you, there's aspects of God's word that say you're going to have a spiritual family and you're going to have blessing within that. But if you're teaching in that way, you're manipulating God's word. You're twisting it on itself. So these are teachings that don't center on God's word. They're not focused on that. They're not directly moving within God's word. And then there are teachings that aren't focused on bettering our walks with God. So it can be a teaching that is focused on keeping us entertained, or a teaching that's focused on making us feel good. And those are so common. Because even as a Bible teacher, it is sometimes hard to teach something that's not going to make you feel good. As Bible teachers, we want to make you feel good. We want to encourage you. We want to make you feel good. We want to make you happy. But God's word doesn't always make us have those butterfly, warm, and fuzzy feelings. Sometimes God's word challenges us. And Bible teachers, when God's word is challenging, we need to be also challenging. And we need to look for that in Bible teachers. And then we need to question it when it is not there. In verse 15, it says, if the work is burned up, so this is at that same judgment, at the Bema Seat judgment, going through the fire. If the work is burned up, like wood, like straw, like hay. And if you're like, you know, Boy Scouts, we got any Boy Scouts? You know that wood, straw, and hay, some nice, like, dry straw is going to start a good fire. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Like, they're the opposite of the important things. Imagine trying to make a fire with granite. No, yeah, it's ridiculous. But these are the opposite. They're made to make fire. Not made to make fire, but they're the best for making fire. So if these things pass through a fire with some gold and some granite next to it, we know what's going to come out on the other end. That wood and straw and hay is going to go. But that granite, that marble, the gold and silver, they're going to come through shining. They're going to be vibrant because that fire is going to make them even more beautiful than they were before. But verse 15 says, if the work is burned up, the builder is going to suffer loss. And that makes sense. If something is burned up, we've lost what we had because it burnt up. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. So if all that you've done in serving the Lord or in ministry is this bad stuff, this stuff that has no value, it's not centered on God's word, it's not encouraging others in their walk with God, you are still saved. But the passage says it's like barely escaping through a wall of flame. I have never walked through a wall of flame. I've never even walked on fire. I've heard that you can do that, but I've never done it. But fire is hot. I've been like singed before where it like and like burns me up real quick. Yeah, it takes off your hair. But I would not like my eternity to be defined as someone barely escaping through the walls of a flame. Ah, that's scary. Yeah, it sounds rough. I mean, obviously you're still in eternity, so you're glorifying God, you're in heaven, and you're not looking back, but barely escaping through the walls of a flame. Woo, that's intense. So that's the bad. That is just the bad. Now we got to look at the ugly. And the ugly is quite worse than the bad, believe it or not. The ugly comes away, this, like here Paul takes a little shift, and he goes away from the building materials and all that, and now he looks at the temple of God. And in our passage, he calls the people of God, the Christians, the temple of God. And so this isn't the passage where it talks about you as the individual are the temple of God and that you need to live like you are the temple of God. No, it's not talking about that. Rather, it's talking about every Christian that like goes to a church. It's not the building that is the temple of God, but it's the people that are the temple of God. So Paul's saying that the people in a church, they are the temple of God. And God dwells in the people. And the people are a holy thing. Verse 17 says, God will destroy anyone who defiles his temple. For God's temple is a holy thing, and you are that temple. We, the church, are that temple. And something that defiles the temple is a teaching that not only isn't within God's word, it's a teaching that goes directly against God's word. This is something that is intentionally directed to lead Christians astray. It's to lead them away from God's word, away from their walk with God, to really not challenge them in a good way in their walk with God, but discourage them in their walk with God. Make it more difficult for them to grow deeper and to flourish in their walk with God. It's someone whose goal when they come into a church as a teacher is to steer people away from God. And God, as we can see, takes this very seriously. Verse 17 says, God will destroy anyone who defiles his temple. Destroy. That's intense. That means that God does not take this lightly. And God takes it very seriously and punishes for it. And these are what we need to watch out for as Christians. We need to watch out for bad teachings. We need to watch out for the ugly teachings. And we also need to watch out for the good teachings, because that's what we need to be going to. That's what we need to be receiving. So, as we come to a close, I want to look at our responsibility. What's our role that we play in this? What do I got to do in light of this? And some people will say, a lot of like Bible commentators and teachers on this passage will say that it's all the responsibility of the teacher, that it's 100% weighing on the teacher, that it's all in the hands of the teacher, it's all his responsibility to stay within the good side, to not veer into the bad or the ugly. And I would agree, because when you boil it down, that's who's making the decision for what it is. But I would also say that it is not only the teacher's responsibility, but that it is equally both the listener's responsibility and the teacher's responsibility. And here's why. Because they're just in life, there's going to be bad teachers. There's going to be teachers, and in this passage, what a bad teacher is, they can be a good speaker. They can be a clear speaker. They can make you feel good when you hear it and entertain you, but it has no lasting value. It doesn't stick within the Word of God. It doesn't challenge you to grow deeper in your walk with God. And there's going to be ugly teachers, teachers who are going directly against the Word of God, intentionally to lead people astray, to steer them away from God. So we as believers, we have a rubric that God has given us that says what basically what a good teaching is. And you guys know what that is. It's the Bible. We have the Bible. And we need to know it well enough and read it well enough to where when we hear a teaching, we can say, this is a bad teaching. There's no lasting value in it. Yeah, I'm entertained. Yeah, it makes me feel good, gives me some warm fuzzies, makes me happy, makes me proud to be a Christian, but it has no lasting value. And so it's kind of like a wake-up call, if you will, to wake up and say, realize that it's not about how we feel. It's not about how a teaching makes us feel. It's not about the speaker. Because Paul points out that God doesn't weigh a teacher's ability, a teacher's importance, on how good of a speaker he is, on how wise he is, or how educated he is. So we need to kind of snap out of just receiving whatever comes our way. And we live in a culture where we just receive, receive, receive. We take like what we see online, we take it. And then even if it was some article that we don't know who it was written by, we're like, oh, this has to be true. And then we continue to tell it to other people. We receive. We're in a receiving culture. But we need to wake up and start applying wisdom to what we receive. And in our passage today, Paul is saying that that wisdom is God's word. So when we hear a teacher, even if it's at the church that you attend, so even if it's here at Calvary Chapel Modesto, you need to be comparing it to God's word. If me as your Bible teacher, if I skip over something that you believe was important for us to hear, and it, you can tell that I intentionally skipped over it, you need to call me out. Or you need to start sitting downstairs or report me to someone in charge, because that is not good. And this is not what we should be receiving. We should not be receiving the bad teaching. If you go to a church and you can tell that it is directly against God's word, you cannot be receiving that. And it's a hard thing, because oftentimes we don't like to be so strict in our culture. We don't like to be so black and white to say, really, I can't listen to that because they went against God's word. But yeah, this is what Paul's telling us. Are you really going to play around with those ugly things, with those bad things that he describes as your eternity as barely passing through flames? No. Paul is telling us we need to be strict. This is a very important thing. And then also to you who one day desire to be Bible teachers, who desire to maybe be missionaries, and that is such a good desire. And I encourage you in that, and I think you should start developing that gift early. If you desire to be in missionary work, start sharing the gospel with people around you. Start trying to go on short-term missions trips, like what they do to Austria or what they do to Mexico occasionally. Start trying to get involved with that so you can get a taste of what it's like, so you can start developing that gift and challenging yourself. But if you have that desire, realize that it is a very serious thing. And the people who are punished for the believers receiving the bad and the ugly, it's not the believers, it's not the Christians who receive the teaching, but it is the teachers who are punished. It's the teachers who received the punishment. So you need to understand that it's a very serious calling, and that you need to start developing that gift right away. You need to start reading your Bible and applying it to circumstances. You need to start speaking to people about the Bible so that you can understand how to speak about the Bible in appropriate ways and in understandable ways, so that people in our common culture are able to understand it and interpret it. So start developing that gift and start challenging yourself to be on that good side. And I will tell you from experience that teaching a good teaching, a teaching that isn't fancy talk, that it doesn't keep you entertained, it doesn't just keep you focused, but a teaching that is in line with God's word, direct and flowing from that, and then edifying, that's building the Christians up in their walk with God, it is a hard thing to do. It's a challenging thing because it's so against what so many people want to hear oftentimes, because people want to be entertained. They want to feel good. But we have to go beyond that and find a way to bring the importance of God's word in a clear and an understandable way. So I encourage you guys to develop that gift, and then to stay on our toes as Christians, as listeners, as receivers of the word, because there are deceivers everywhere who their main goal is to trip us up in our walk with God, to feed us the ugly stuff that goes against his word, and then to really steer us away from our walk with God. So we need to take it very seriously. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you desire to pour into us in a way that is lasting, that has value, that is going to have eternal value. And it's incredible to think that these teachings that we receive, that they are not just going to fade away as we go into heaven, but those are going to last. Those are going to be lasting things. And I pray that we would have that eternal perspective, realizing that the teachings that we receive are very important things. That the teachers who are over us, that we listen to, that we appreciate, that they are very important voices in our lives and in our walk with God, and that we need to treat it in that way. And then I pray for anybody in here who has the desire to one day be a Bible teacher or a minister or a pastor, leader, or missionary, that you would start developing that gift right away. Teach them what it means to not only be an entertaining teacher or a fun teacher that people enjoy listening to, but teach them what it means to be a good teacher, a teacher who stays within the lines and the boundaries of God's word, and who stays with the focus of edifying and building us up, Lord. So help us to see that and apply this to our lives. We pray that you would go before us this week, bless the snacks that we have, and let this theme continue with us as we fellowship and as we leave from this place. We love you so much, God, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.